You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassis for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. We're in Newcastle here, post-fight interview with Mr. Eddie Hearn. Right, well, first of all, what was going on with the ref there?
Well, I mean, gutted to see Lewis lose the fight. I don't know, it was a strange one with the towel. His dad threw the towel in, and it was kind of ignored by the ref. I don't know whether he saw it or he didn't see it. Steve Gray's a fantastic referee, but then he picked the towel up out of the ring and threw it out of the ring. I don't know. It was very strange, but you know, it was irrelevant in the way the fight was going. It was irrelevant in the way the fight ended. Great performance by Jeremiah Ponce. It was just too good and too strong and too relentless for Lewis Ritson tonight. In the first round, he hit him with an absolute peach of a body shot, and he never really recovered from that. He tried and he tried and he tried, but he got overrun in the end, and you know, disappointing defeat.
What's the case with Lewis Ritson? It hasn't quite looked the same fighter since moving up from lightweight, where he literally took everyone out domestically, and it was really impressive. But what's been the problem, in your opinion?
You know, it's probably two things in that respect. It's, you know, is it the move to 140 pounds? He's not carrying the same kind of power that he did at 135 pounds, or is it that it's the level he's operating? You know, at 135, domestic level, he looked like a wrecking machine power-wise. Moved to 140, hasn't looked like the same kind of puncher, but has been operating at a higher level. You know, and sometimes you can dominate at British level and, you know, good win against Robbie Davis, but when you get onto that world level, sometimes you're just not quite there. And, you know, tonight was one of those nights. As you know, it was a different kind of fight to Vasquez, of course. It was a fantastic fight. It was a great pace. And I was hoping that Ponce would tire. And, you know, probably after four rounds, I thought, oh, we start to... But, you know, Lewis was taking too much punishment and he didn't have anything in the tank to push on in the championship rounds anyway, or as they approach the championship rounds. So, you know, Ponce was young and fresh and, you know, he came to win and he was a deserved winner.
Ponce now becomes a mandatory challenger to Josh Taylor. Josh Taylor's situation after his WBO situation with Jack Catterall. We'll see what happens if Ponce fights. But a little bit unknown coming into it. He's got a good record, but couldn't really tell too much about Ponce. But he looked decent tonight.
Yeah, no, look, come with a good reputation. And, you know, a couple of good fighters coming out of Argentina now. Brian Castano, and people talk well of Ponce as well. And he's young and fresh, and he had plenty in the tank. You know, other fighters that might be approaching, you know, the back end of their career might have gassed out after five or six rounds, but Ponce had an engine full of fuel and, you know, he wasn't going to be denied tonight.
Let's kind of run through the rest of the card. Thomas Patrick Ward has equaled the longest unbeaten record in British boxing, matching Tyson Fury tonight. But when you look through Thomas's record, it's just there's a fight there that he craves that he hasn't had yet. So is there anything you can do there to kind of get him a good fight?
Yeah, he deserves one, doesn't he? I mean, he's a very good fighter, technically sound. I mean, he's not someone, you know, the style-wise you're gonna pick. You know, he needs to be fighting those guys that just want to come forward. I think him against Navarrete is a really good fight. Is Navarrete going to look at Thomas Patrick Ward and say, I'll fight him? No, he doesn't have that kind of style. He's very tricky, he's technically gifted, and he's awkward. So you need to get him into a mandatory position. And he's right there with the governing bodies. He's got to take a risk now in a final eliminator. He's ready to fight anyone. And, you know, he's deserving of a world title shot, in my opinion. So I'd love to see him fight for one this year.
Let's talk about the heavyweights. Babbage, very, very vocal about Nick Webb in his post-fight, saying that Nick Webb doesn't want it, etc., etc. A good win for Solomon Dacres tonight as well. So just round up the heavyweights tonight.
Savage was great. I mean, he's highly entertaining. And shout out to Damien Chambers as well. You know, took the fight at a week's notice. And actually, I think, was it the fourth round stoppage? In the third round, I was thinking, oh, looks like he's finding his feet here and Savage might be tiring. But hit him with a peach of a left hook. And Alan Babbage is a lot of fun. You know, I love the way he's talking about fighting between cruiserweight, bridgerweight and heavyweight. I mean, really, he can make cruiserweight. But he knows that the big fights and the big money are at heavyweight and that's where he wants to operate as well. So looking to get him back out of fight camp. You know, I want to see him step up. The Nick Webb fight is a fight that we'd like to make.
Have you dismissed that now?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to get Nick Webb on this card. It's not really any fault of anyone's, to be honest with you. He was going to be having almost a run out. We tried to get him to fight Sokolowski. He didn't want to fight him within that the deal that we had, and you know, he was probably due a slightly easier fight than that. But anyway, if he wants to step up and fight Alan Babich at fight camp, more than happy to do it. And that's the kind of fight that Alan Babich needs tonight. Solomon Dacre's good performance, stopping a very tough kid. He needs a little rest now because I know he's had two fights in a month, but he's been training for about 5 months waiting on his license. Cyrus Pattinson I thought was fantastic. Great support here tonight for him. And also April Hunter with a good win. And great to see Joe Laws getting back to winning ways. Boxed nice against Chris Hadaway. And yeah, all done and dusted, and we roll on to a big day on Monday.
Big day on Monday. Can we address whether you had a little bit of a mare over the weekend or not?
With the notepad?
The notepad.
People say to me, Ed, why do you use a notepad? Let me tell you why I use a notepad. Because every day I write down the cards that I'm planning. Dazzling?
What, mate?
Every day I write down the shows, the fighters, the plans, the future opponents. And this is why when I do a press conference, you will never see me with any notes. You will never see me with an auto cue because it comes from here and it comes from here. Now, the geezer on Great Northeastern Trains who had a selfie and exposed half of the fight camp card.
The potential fight camp card.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, some of those fights are done. Some of them aren't. Some of them aren't happening. Some of them are happening. But it wasn't, you know, people were phoning me up going, that was brilliant what you did there. I was like, what? Say, well, obviously you don't have a note. Who has a notepad? I was like, yeah. So you just got it in a picture, and obviously everyone's talking about it. So I'd love to claim that it was a great publicity stunt, but yeah, Monday, a big press conference at the HQ to announce pretty much all of the fight camp cards, the 3 weeks. So looking forward to it.
All right, we've got Monday, so I'm not going to start going, is this fight happening, that fight happening? I've seen the list regardless before that, but yeah, we'll look forward to Monday. I will ask you about, I'm sure you would have seen Bob Arum's comments about yourself over the last couple of days.
Yeah, roughly something like, it was my fault because I was greedy with Saudi. I mean, this is a guy, he's unquestionably the greediest man I've ever met in my life, Bob Arum. But it's all very strange. Just to put it into perspective, we asked for a deal from Saudi with the approval of all the parties of what they wanted. Are you happy to accept this number? Yes. Go and ask them for that, Eddie. I went and asked them for that. They said yes. There was no going back for more money or give them TV. It was all agreed between the parties. He is talking absolute. In fact, he needs to go. What was it Naz said? You just need to go. Just finish. Because what on earth is he talking about? We all agreed a number to propose to the Saudis. We proposed it. They said yes. There was no other negotiation after that. There was no change. There was no asking for more money. There was nothing. And he's basically saying that, if he would have moved a bit quicker, then we could have got it in before the arbitrator's decision. And it's taken him, 3 weeks to come out with that? So anyway, look, don't worry about Bob Arum. We got to focus on AJ's career. You've only got to look at the comments online to see what people think.
Fury made some comments, I think, in an article with Jeff Powell in the Mail. Did you see those ones?
I saw old Benson tweeted it. Something, I think one was a bit of a compliment, and then the other one was, I kept announcing it, so I get egg on my face because I've got a big mouth, or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to get people updated. You ask me every single day. So I'm telling you the truth about what's happening. And it was on the verge of being announced. In fact, I mean, he announced it, actually. So, sorry, Tyson Fury announced the fight and it didn't happen. I guess he got a bit of egg on his face as well. I don't really care about egg on the face. I'm just trying to get a deal done and trying to get the fight for Anthony Joshua. So it is what it is.
When are you hopeful that you will be able to be in a position to announce Joshua's fight with Alexander Usyk?
We sent an agreement to Alex Krasuk, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, so we're just waiting for the comments. And I don't expect many comments. You know, most of the terms are agreed, so hopefully we get it done this week.
You've announced a deal that starts on the 26th of June with Canelo, your old mate.
Me, mate Canelo and Eddie. No, it's an honour, actually. And I can't wait. June 26 in Guadalajara. I sat down with Canelo and Eddie Reynoso and just said, look, obviously, we're taking over the world. And Mexico is a big part of where we'd love to be. It's a strong market. We love the passion there. We love the fighters there. Would you be my partners there? And they both said, yes. We start on Guadalajara, June 26th. There will be at least four shows in the next 6 months. And obviously moving forward over the years, the aim is just to bring the world champions back to Mexico and let the young fighters have a chance. Canelo and Eddie Reynoso are very passionate about giving young Mexican fighters opportunities. And this is what this will do. And it's the first of many markets that we will enter over the next couple of months.
Okay. A quick one, just while he's there. Do you think that Darren Barker would beat Jake Paul today?
Yes.
Did you hear that, what you just said?
Aaron, what was the question?
Would you beat
Jake Paul?
He knows the score.
It's a good fight, though.
He says he'd need a four-month camp.
Is that what he said?
He said you need a four-month camp, didn't you?
It's only the rounds, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
it's not, you know, it's like, we know that he could... what about, would you let him fight again? No.
Whatever you do.
Yeah.
It's an exhibition. Would you do that? Against Jake Paul?
I want to be a winner. Yeah.
Eddie, we will see you Monday at the party.
It's not a party. It's a press conference.
I've heard different.
All you want to do is party.
Come, Matchroom HQ. Let's have a party Monday.
There's a lot of parties coming, trust me.
I've heard about the other one coming in July as well.
Oh, yeah. There is. Yeah, there's a lot of parties. No, but there's a lot of parties coming.
Just the final one. This is your last show with Sky today in Matchroom, so just a word on that.
Yeah, look, it's been a brilliant partnership. Can never say a bad word about Sky, the team. You know, Adam Smith, the commentary team, the production team, Jonathan Licht. I want to really thank Barney Francis, because without him, we wouldn't be in this position. And, you know... It's an amicable split. We just needed a broadcast partner that could help us achieve our goals and share our vision. And that requires a lot of ambition, a lot of money, the ability to give us the creative input across the production that we need, the ability to allow our fighters to be in the fights that will help them achieve their dreams and their legacies, will help them box internationally all around the world. And... you know, it feels like the right time. You know, wonderful 10, 11 years at Sky and 25 beyond that. But now's the time. Now's the time we take the sport to the new level with the Zone.
And your reaction to their announcement yesterday?
Good. I mean, I'm glad they're staying in the sport. You know, you've got the top rank stuff coming in the early hours of the morning. You've got Boxer. I'm sure, you know, that's a good opportunity for someone as well. So, you know, I'm sure... you know, they'll continue to stay in boxing, and brilliant that they're still supporting it with us going.
Eddie, we'll see you Monday and speak to you then.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.